Somebody want to venture a guess what today's message is?
Day two.
Okay, yeah, we got a series going here. Praise the Lord. So we want to go ahead and look at the days of creation. Some things there that I had never heard preached before from the Baptist pulpits that I've sat under. I have heard some of this preached from the Baptist pulpit that I stood behind. But I want to go into a new depth of this and take it a day at a time and learn some things about God and what He says. The theme that I'm picking up for this, in all of January we'll be following this theme again for 4 days at least. The theme is this: God says what He means and means what He says. It's amazing how many people do not believe that. In fact, we looked last week at the fact that every modernist Bible changed the first 7 words of God. Their Bible does not say, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Their Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." And so we're looking at the exacting nature of this description of creation of the universe that God gives us. And beforehand, a priori is what we call this, we are determining that we're just going to believe what God says, period. I don't care what science says. When we compare it to what God says, Bible says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Amen. And so we're going to take that and we're going to stand on those verses as we examine the first 6 days of creation. And then we had a good discussion Wednesday about that 7th day. What did God do on the 7th day?
He rested.
And so I put my feet up all day yesterday and did nothing just because of that. So let's go ahead and look in our Bible to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to pick it up in verse 6. But let's go ahead and read all of the first day for review. And then watch for the 2nd day, which only goes for 3 short verses there, 6 through 8. So let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Genesis 1, we'll review what He did on the first day. Then we'll look at the miracle of the 2nd day. Each of these, again, depicts a day's work. And sometimes man has been happy with God's day's work and they've tried to add a whole bunch of other things in there. And so we're not putting no gaps. We're not adding anything to God's Word. We're understanding that when He lays out a day's work, it is a day's work. And it's good for us just to examine that and the nature of it. So let's go ahead and do our reading. Genesis chapter 1. And let's read the first 2 days of creation aloud and together. Genesis chapter 1, the first 8 verses, that is. And let's read them together. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, 'Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.' And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the heaven and the morning were the second day." Father, praise You again and thank You for Your accounting that You gave of Your creation of our universe. We're here to tell You we believe You. We're here to tell You we love You. And we're here to tell You again, Father, that You need to let Your Word again work a perfect work in each of our hearts so that we could be the better witnesses of Your glory. We'll give You the praise now in the name of Christ. We ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Psalms chapter 19 has become a favorite of mine. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament..." We're going to learn that word today. "And the firmament showeth His handiwork." Here we are on the second day of creation. And if you read that account carefully, you notice that he didn't make anything on the second day of creation except a firmament. That's it. What did he make on the second day of creation? A firmament. That's it. That's all he made again. And it was good. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Seems kind of short. Why, we should be out of here by noon today. Don't count on it, all right. This firmament, again, is a tremendous insight to what God's universe is. It is a insight, again, that all of NASA doesn't have a clue about. It is an insight, again, that the agnostic and the atheistic evolutionist cannot even comprehend nor begin to see. And we want to look at this firmament and understand some things about it as we see it consuming a whole day of God's creation account. Notice again that as we step into this second day, the only thing that exists in God's universe to this point is water, light, and darkness. That's it. Okay, there's nothing more. And so I want to start with that again and understand that that is the beginning. God made those on the first day, but more importantly, God made this on the first day. He made a time continuum. Continuum is a big word that means it continues again, unabated. And so he made a time continuum. He began in the beginning, the Bible says. He made a space continuum. And I don't want to get wax technical here from the pulpit, except to understand that we live in a three-dimensional world. We got up and down. We got left and right. We got north and south. I didn't probably say them right. But those are our three dimensions that we live in. We live in a three-dimensional world. Albert Einstein devised a theory of relativity, and he had to go to 10 dimensions of space in order for him to understand the creation that God crammed into a three-dimensional world. Wow, let me say that again. No, maybe that was too much said already again. So understand that we can see three dimensions. If there's anyone who's passed algebra here, you know that there are more dimensions out there. For every one of our real dimensions, attached to it is what algebra calls an imaginary dimension. When we understand that, that brings us up to six dimensions. When we throw in the fact that time is another dimension, then and it has an imaginary side, then we again are up to eight dimensions. X, Y, Z is the three up, down, north dimensions. And then we have time as a fourth, and all of them have an imaginary dimension that's paralleled to them, kind of a parallel universe idea. And so we live in this world that's built by God, and it's declared in this one light, in the beginning God created the heaven. And that's not talking about the heavens that we see again that the modernist tried to cram into his first seven words. That's talking about this three-dimensional space. And I haven't covered all the miracle that's in just in a three-dimensional space to understand that there are fourth dimensions in it, fifth dimension, sixth dimensions. And again, when Albert Einstein did his theories of relativity, he had to define actually 16 dimensions, but some of them overlapped, and he ended up with a 10-dimensional problem solved in his general theory of relativity. And that's just to comprehend the heaven that God built on that first day of his creation. And then lastly, we have he created the heaven and the earth. And when he created the earth, that does not mean the planet. There's no planet yet. That does not even mean dirt. That does not even mean rock. He created the matter continuum, as near as we could tell in there. And again, once you've had high school science, you know that the matter continuum is made up of atoms. And the atoms have protons and neutrons and electrons. Are we familiar with them? Anyone heard of the Higgs boson? No. Or boson? pig's boson. Boton is something else. That reminds me of Botox again. The Higgs boson. And it is a particle that's inside of a proton. And back in 2012, they got all excited over in Europe because that accelerometer that they built got busted two protons together, and they broke apart and they witnessed a Higgs boson. And that's a particle that's inside of a proton. And so again, you can't see a proton. You can't see a proton without an electron telescope or microscope. And again, understand that these things are just theories, but they're proven theories now. And they got all excited in 2012 because they proved the existence of a Higgs boson, which is, again, they put together this field of gravity, a field of mass. Why mass has gravity and the interconnection between mass and gravity. Too deep. Pull up. You're in the weeds. But again, understand that when God created Earth or the matter and it was without form and void, I don't think there was any wood. I don't think there was any metals. I don't think there was anything, but again, protons and neutrons, and maybe even not that, could be even the particles, the photons. Anyone heard of alpha radiation? Someone's heard of that? Alpha radiation. It is a particle, okay? Alpha particles. And so there's particles that are smaller than protons and neutrons. An electron is one of those, but it's not as small as the particles inside of a proton. And so when I study this out, I'm saying that when God made mass without form and void, that there was probably nothing, not a single atom structure. And then the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and that was the creation of water. You with me so far? So on the first day, he created those three continuums, and then out of those, he assembled molecules of water. And again, that's all we have coming into the second day here, is water. He created light, and we talked about that last week, and the miracle of color and what it is, and the wonder of it all. How light has got the fastest speed known in the universe, and you can't go any faster. If you do go faster than the speed of light, your mass turns to energy. And so a lot of that stuff, again, is what I want us to see is that, hey, God wrote down on a fifth grade reading level so that you could understand how he put together the universe. That's a big deal, to believe everything God says. On the second day, we have water, and it is, by natural of the fact that it has mass, it is a sphere, okay? And I want to emphasize that for certain reasons, that it is a sphere. If you've ever blown bubbles out of a square bubble maker, you get square bubbles. True or false? False, okay? Anything that has mass forms itself because the mass reaches out with gravity in all directions, and it pulls itself into a sphere, a ball. Anybody know how they make lead BBs for your shotgun? They put it into a what? A form, okay? So they got a little form and they dump it, and then they pull out and they open up a million little forms to get a million. No. I mean, that's how we make our 50 caliber bullets, sure enough, okay? But that's not how they make BBs for your shotgun. What they do is they take molten lead and they take it way up to the top of a tower and they pour it through a screen mesh, and it breaks it into little masses. They got different sizes depending on whether you want 4-shot or 6-shot or buck shot. They pour it through this screen and out drips molten lead, and as it falls down to the ground, it forms into a little sphere, okay? Because anything left off in the open, that's what it forms. Bubbles do it, BBs do it. And so this glob of earth is now sitting there, and it's water, nothing but water, no dirt, no rock. It's just a ball of water sitting in God's three-dimensional universe. And again, in this firmament, I want you to see what he does. He goes someplace into the middle of this ball, and he divides the water from the water. Is that what your verse says? And he divides the water from the water with a firmament. And I can read all of that in there because there are certain things that we know about that word firmament. It makes a vault. And a vault, again, is round. A vault ceiling is rounded. And so that word firmament contains a roundness. That there is a sphere, and out there, if you picture a sphere of water all the way around the planet Earth, which is made right up now of nothing but water. Nothing but water. And so here we have this firmament given. Let me read it again out of the Bible. God made the firmament, verse 7, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Can we all see the firmament? If you picture a basketball sphere, it's got a skin all the way around it. And we are in the middle of this basketball sphere now. And this bubble of water is all the way around the outside. And there's a firmament in between the two. Y'all with me? And this is as clear as I can make it here. But next we see again, and I can't get through this one without jumping a couple days ahead. On the fourth day of creation, God is going to take lights and put them in the firmament. Now, God puts the lights in the firmament, and the lights help us tell days and months and years that go by. That includes all the planets that we see as lights. When someone says starlight, star bright, first star I saw tonight, I wish I might. Have the wish I wish tonight. Is that what it says? When you say that, 20 times out of 30, let's go better than that. 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, you're looking at the first star you saw tonight. Usually it's Venus. Anyone ever heard of Venus called the morning star? That's because it's a planet that's closer to the Earth. And when the sun sets, you usually see hanging around afterwards the planet Venus as it orbits the sun. And so you look out there and sure enough, there's Venus. And you say, look, there's the first star. Okay, that's not a star. Actually, it's a planet. Lots of times, even since they've launched the thing they have orbiting the Earth, space station again up there, you can see that as a star as well. It glows, and you can see it if the timing's just right and the sun sets, and the same time that is still up there. And what happens is the sunlight still hits that space station, and you're down here on Earth and look up and say, look, there's a star. And you're looking at the space station that really is up there, okay? And so when we consider those things, notice again that all of those planets that we understand in our solar system, including the sun and the moon, were placed in the firmament. And so what's outside of our solar system then is still this bubble of water. And so our solar system is surrounded by this outer bubble of water. And we're sitting here on this planet, which is the right at this point nothing but a bubble of water, not a bubble of water, a sphere of water. And so that's God's creation description for the second day, and that isn't big enough deal yet. We find on the fourth day he also set the stars inside of that firmament. And so they're outside of our solar system is all the other solar systems that are out there. And not only that, our solar systems all fit together in what we call a Milky Way galaxy that we live inside of. And that galaxy, again, is twisting and orbiting through space. And it's actually collapsing. We just found out in 1998, it's collapsing into a black hole. And so if you picture our planet, our galaxy as a spiral, and there's our solar system as a little piece of this spiral winging through space and heading into a black hole, again, that's going to consume everything, that's what our galaxy looks like. If you've got a telescope, you can look out and you can see the galaxy Andromeda, I think it's called. And that, again, with that telescope, you can see the actual spiral of it. Again, with the telescope, you can see that spiral, and that is another galaxy. Never mind another solar system. That is another group of a million solar systems put together. And that is all inside of this firmament. And so the big deal here is to understand that we live in a bounded universe. And the boundary of our universe is a shell of water that's out there. I just heard, some moron on the science station say that we can now see a trillion years out into the distant past. It's like some of these guys have been watching Washington spend money so much that they don't know what a trillion is, okay? What was the lottery we're fussing about? 1.3 million?
Billion,
okay. In order to get a billion, you have to have 1,000 millions. That's a big deal, okay? Billions is a big number. If our planet, if the Niagara Falls, you all understand Niagara Falls is cutting a gorge, and it's moving towards Michigan. And so if the Niagara Falls had been cutting that gorge for just 2 million years, it would already be in Cleveland, okay? And it would have drained all of Lake Erie, and they'd be planting wheat out there where Lake Erie is right now. And so again, understand that we can look at our planet and say, it cannot be, it's impossible that's a million years old. It just doesn't fit anything in our solar system. If you look at planets cooling, they cannot be a million years old. And so what I want us to recognize here is that God made this firmament. There's water underneath and there's water on top. And inside of that firmament, that space, that ceiling that he put in there, it contains all of our known universe. And sometimes we don't sit down and wonder how big that is. I rejoice in digging around the Hubble telescope pictures for two reasons. Number one, because they are just awesome. Number two, they're all public domain. The government paid for all of that, and so you can do anything you want with those pictures because they're owned by, you own them again. And so when we look out into space, and again, that Hubble telescope, as it looked out and saw things that had never been imagined before, and again, God made all that right here in this creation account. Let me cover one more thing in the couple minutes I got left. Is out there in that firmament, there is a star. You can see it from the southern hemisphere in the large Magdalis system of stars, and that's like a whole galaxy of stars. And there's a star in there that had a supernova. And it's like a star that burns out. And what happens, and this happened in February of 87. I forgot the numbers anyway. Back in the 80s, Bev's been typing, rereading my book and might know the date better than I. But in February, anyway, this thing had a supernova. And it is the most photographed, the most studied supernova of all time. And for 4 years, they watched this thing blare out into a brightness of 1,000 suns and burn up. And then it disappeared into a red dot. And I've got all the photographs tracing that. Just a marvelous, marvelous thing. That we only speculated before, but now we witnessed it with cameras watching it and taking pictures of it every night from South America. And so that supernova, as near as they could tell by figuring out a distance, was 168,000 light years ago. In other words, light from that supernova took, if light travels at the speed of light in the outer edges of the universe, then light from that supernova took 168,000 years to get to our little planet. So we could sit down there in South America at the observatory on the top of that mountain and stare at that supernova and say, wow, we saw a supernova that happened 168,000 years ago. Hello, God made this universe 6,000 years ago. Period. He said so. And if you're here and you're a Bible believer, you've got to choose who you're going to believe. Either you're going to believe... Who's the little guy in the wheelchair that wrote the book, The End of Time? The History of Time. Hawking. Stephen Hawking. If you're either going to believe Stephen Hawking or you're going to believe God. One of them is deceived. And it isn't God. Okay. So we sit here on this earth and we understand that, hey, that supernova that was photographed in February of 87 did not happen 168,000 years ago. Wednesday night it was quoted, well, yeah, but a day for the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a single day. And notice again that if you take just that transition for the speed of light, then that supernova happened, 168 years ago. No, it wasn't even that, again, because a day is as 1,000 years. That supernova happened just a matter of a couple years ago, I think 5 years ago or something. When we run the math through for a day being as 1,000 years, again, understand 168,000 comes down to a very reasonable number. And listen, I'd sooner believe God than Albert Einstein.
Amen.
Than to believe, again, Stephen Hawking, that the earth is 13 billion years old because we can see light traveling through the outer regions of space. Two things, again, that I have to mention here on this firmament. Number one, it is a bounded... we live in a bounded universe. Stephen Hawking and all his atheistic cohorts who believe in evolution believe, again, we live in an unbounded infinite. And if their creator is natural selection, if their creator is random chance, then they have got to believe that, and they do. They believe that the universe is unbounded. And again, once you understand that, that makes a huge difference for mathematics. When you approach boundary conditions, all the laws that we know in this universe are off the table. And so again, when we look out into outer space, we see the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament, that's the space that contains all of the stars of the universe, all the galaxies of the universe, millions of each, yea, billions of the stars. When we look off into this, we see again the glory of God. They see that the earth is 13 billion years old, and a couple of them who haven't thought this out at all think it's 1 trillion years old now. And so understand here that there's a big difference in how we read this. And so when we read it again, understand that all we have on the second day, close of the second day, there's no rocks. There's no dirt. There's not a planet called Earth yet. There is a ball of water that is in a shape of a sphere. There is a firmament and there is an outer sphere or skin of a basketball, if you would, way, 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 way. And I can't say way enough for that. It's bigger than our solar system, which is pretty big. They just launched that Voyager. No, it wasn't the Voyager. They just launched an explorer out to Pluto. Anybody ever see any of that?
Yeah.
Ever see how long it took to get there?
9 years. Or
yeah. So here they launch this thing, and they got to wait for 10 years for it to get there, and that's at the fastest they can get it there. And the only reason they could get it there is because they used, I think, Jupiter or one of the other planets as a slingshot to sling it around and accelerate it, and so going faster than is conceivable by anything we could do. And it still took 10 years to get to the outer edge of our tiny little solar system again. So when we understand, and again, the things that they found out about that, the things that they understand about time travel. Anyone heard of a wormhole? Okay, you've been to the movies, eh? Anyone heard of a warp drive? Okay, or time dilation for you? One Star Trek, one's... What's time dilation? That's where the twins aren't twins anymore. Luke Skywalker and his twin are different ages because they've gone through different time dilations. Anyway, science fiction, they understand that you don't travel through space on our time clock. But the atheistic evolutionist doesn't have a clue. And so again, when we look at those things, understand that, hey, we're going to believe the Bible. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let's go ahead and look at Psalms chapter 19 and close. And again, understand that there we have the second day. Doesn't seem like a big deal. He didn't make anything except a firmament. And that is a big deal. And it is a big firmament, okay? And there's seven times that that word firmament is used in Genesis. Then it's used twice in Psalms. And it's used five times in Ezekiel. And one time in Daniel. And so that firmament, again, is not... I always thought a firmament was something firm enough for you to stand on. Okay, don't mix up your words. A firmament is a ceiling or an arch of a ceiling, an arch of a space between a floor and a ceiling. That's what a firmament is. And we need to keep that strong in our definitions. Let's go ahead and look at Psalms 19. And just understand a few concepts that are given there about this firmament. Psalms 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." And the firmament, that's the same word, that's the same thing. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Everybody knows the glory of God when they look out into that universe. And listen, when you look out through a Hubble telescope, it will magnify the glory of God to a point where, again, it's just overwhelming for us to consider that the God who made all of that is still earthocentric. Okay, He created this world, and according to the Bible, and it is the center of His attention. There's no alien life forms that'll ever come or have ever come to this planet. God said so. He said again that all of that was created for us. And that He didn't do it for another organization out there, or another group of people, or another random chance planet that happened to land in a Goldilocks state, as the evolutionist says. No, God created... there's very few planets that could sustain life as we know it again. And so they call that a Goldilocks planet again. And they say, hey, if it's random chance, then there's got to be another one out there. We don't have a random chance creator. We have a Jehovah God creator. And listen, He made all of that, which is beyond my description here today. I'll struggle with it, but I'll do the best job I can to make you wonder at it. But it's beyond my description what's out there. And when we go the other way and go back down to the proton and then break a proton in two pieces, it's beyond my description to go that way too. And no matter whether you look at God's universe through the grandest microscope or the hugest telescope, listen, the firmament declares the glory of God. And we're here to just wonder at Him. Solomon said this. He said, listen, I've given it as the sore travail of man to go ahead and think about these things and ponder everything under heaven. And that's inside of that sphere again. And so when we consider that that's our duty, it is so that we could give God glory. But I want to draw again attention to the fact that, hey, that God who created all of that is more than earthocentric. He's Eddie Rice-ocentric. Okay? Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that if Eddie Rice in Gang Mills, New York, believes on Him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I hope you can fit you in there. We've always did that in junior church as an exercise with a child once they got saved, is take out those whosoevers and put your name in there. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and you can be that whosoever, God loved you. I've heard it said this way. It's too big for me to really comprehend. But if you were the only one in the universe, he would have died for you.
Amen.
And I don't know how, the reality of that. I don't know how you even fit that into a theory again. But the idea is that, hey, you're the most important thing in God's universe, in your life. God ponders your hearts. We've got people going through all kinds of circumstances in this year, 2016. And it's going to get worse before it gets better because circumstances are in our future. Circumstances are in the future of our nation. I don't like the course of our nation. We're in an election year, and I don't see where anything could improve. By an election that we'd have as the United States. We have gone so far into total depravity of man that I don't see too much coming back. But God is still in charge. And God loves you. He loves your next door neighbor. God is conscious of you. No matter what circumstance we'd go through, no matter what problem we'll face in this year, no matter who is here for our watch night service in 2016 at the end of this year, and who is not here, listen, God is in charge and He sees you and He loves you and He's in the business of watch caring in your life. He has a providence for your care. Boy, we just want to praise the Lord because the heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. And night unto night showeth His knowledge. And there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Father, praise You again and thank You. I thank You again, Father, for the account that You gave of Your creation. Thank You that You gave it in words a fifth grader can understand. Some of us are still grappling with it, and so I'd ask again, Father, that we could just marvel in Your grace and what You did. And Father, as we would do that, I pray again that You'd help us to remember that You put us here for a purpose, to be Your witnesses, and to cause again that we could see others come into a knowledge of Your only begotten Son. We'll need some help with that purpose in this week, and so we'd ask that You'd stir in each heart that's here. Open our mouth, cause again, Father, open our eyes that we could see souls around us and then speak up for Your love. We'll give You praise now as we ponder the universe, Father. Help that we wouldn't be so heavenly minded that we'd be no earthly good, Father, because we need again to be about our Father's business. We'll praise You now and thank You for Your word and thank You for those that believe it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Again, 308 in our songbook. It's good to have surrender. As we sing that again, let's consider what God has done and the fact that God loves you and what He showed you again, that you could know for sure that you're hand in hand with His only begotten Son. And that we have His care as we walk through this world. I look around and see others that are struggling. Others that don't have a Savior. Others that, again, are trying to deal with death and life and poverty and problem and situation and the course of our nation. And they don't have a Savior to look to. Let's, again, talk about our Savior because we have a surrender to Him. 308, let's stand. All to Jesus I surrender as we worship today. Let's make this not only a song, but our prayer. All to Jesus.